Father in heaven, we come before you this midweek, thanking you for another day. Thankful, Father, that we can come and assemble with one another during the week to strengthen us to be better Christians. We're thankful, too, Father, for the plan of salvation and willingness to send your Son. We're thankful for all the blessings you provide for us. We're mindful of those of our number who are sick and some who are really sick. Physically, to ease them from some of their pain and discomfort. We're thankful, too, for each family that meets here. We pray to continue to do with our young people, that we can encourage them and help make them strong to fight off the sins of this world. We're thankful, too, for our brother Chuck for putting together these lesson books on Revelation. We pray that we'll learn and try to understand it so we can help ourselves and help teach other people as well.
Amen. Okay, Mike is going to pass. We need three over here, Mike. I think we need one in back for Robin. Well, we need a whole bunch. Clay's going to come help him. I thought I got them all. So as these are being passed out, let me explain the format. What you have right now is up through chapter 2. Revelation has 22 chapters. That's why we have a big folder here. But what's going to happen now that you have the booklets, and hopefully you bring them each week, I will be handing out material when I complete a chapter. So when I complete chapter 3, I will hand out the pages for you to put in the booklet. So they'll be all numbered and they'll be correlated and you'll get that. So when I get done with chapter 3, I will pass that on and so forth. I also have a plastic bin up front that if some of your pages go bad or maybe you just didn't like all the answers you put into it, whatever the case, you can pick one out of there. The only thing I suggest is if you look in the page, say you're looking for page 12 and there's only one page 12 left. Well, let me know so I can make some more page 12. So you have some extra sheets up front. After these booklets, I will not be preparing any more booklets. So if you get another booklet, you'll have to figure that out for yourself. The papers will be here, but the booklets won't. I'm excited about this study. I don't know the specifics of many of the symbols. We're going to go over that in the future. But I do know the complete message, and that's victory. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So if you have your booklet, does everyone have a booklet now? Let's stay on page now, right on the front page. What we need to remember as we study the book of Revelation is found on the bottom of this page. And that is Revelation 17:14. Gary, go ahead and read that for us, please.
These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings.
And that's the ultimate message we want to remember, is that the Lord Jesus wins. In fact, before we go over some of this tonight, let me just share this with you. When you look at the conflict within Revelation, as the seven churches are identified, not the conflict that they had to deal within their own congregations, but the conflict they were receiving from without, that does not begin until chapter 6. Chapter 1, it shows the beginning of the book, why it was written. Chapter 2 and 3, it talks about the seven churches, pros and cons of the seven churches. Chapter 4, the glory of God. So you have his glory in chapter 5. Chapter 5, who's worthy to open the seals? Well, then we have chapter 5, the Lamb of God. And then in chapter 6, actually starts the conflict, or reveals to us the conflict that the Christians were going through. So we're going to look at various things. I've used a number of resources. I will continue to use a number of resources. They'll be in the book that will be identified who it came from. I'm not God, they're not God. So take their comments in stride with what we're studying. So I'm not going to try to defend something if there's a particular thing you don't like. Just take that in stride. So we'll deal with that as we come to that. I'm sure all of you have studied the book of Revelation before. Trouble is, with the book of Revelation, many of our religious neighbors go to that book to teach some strange doctrines. And what I hope to know after this class is over is that we might not understand everything. I don't think we will, but we'll understand the thrust of the message and we'll be able to expose those strange doctrines. And that's my goal is here. We've got the victory and it gives strength at all times. So if we look at the front page, Revelation Workbook, what I did immediately is listed the seven passages of those who are blessed. All right, let's go ahead and read those passages together. So go ahead, Jerry, read Revelation 1:3.
Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near.
Okay, so we're going to study that when we get to chapter 1. But here's blessed, we could use the word happy. So when you see the word blessed, could slash happy. All right, the second one, Revelation 14:13. Go ahead, Steph.
Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works will follow them.
Now what we're going to see as we look at all seven of these, the specific individuals who are blessed are those who are faithful. Let's go to the third one, Revelation 16:15. Martha, you want to read that one for us?
Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
And we'll see these in the context, but I just want to touch that. Go ahead, Ken, read 19:9. All right, and Diana 26.
Blessed and holy is he who is part in the first resurrection. Over such a second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him.
And by the way, Revelation 20 is a big sugar stick for our religious world. So we'll be spending a lot of time. But by the time we get to Revelation 20, we'll have a lot of backup to understand that chapter in more detail. Revelation 22:7. Ruth, do you want to read that one for me, please?
Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Are we meant to understand all the things that are in Revelation?
Are we meant to understand what, ma'am? I believe they probably had a better understanding in the first century. I think we can understand the thrust of the message, but I don't believe necessarily when you have the headed beast and some of the other things, we're going to understand every specific there. However, my opinion, this is my opinion, in the first century, I believe they did understand that to a better degree than us. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question. Yes, we can understand the message clearly. Do I understand everything in the book? We might have some differences on that. But remember, when we do have differences, it cannot contradict, this is important, it cannot contradict the major theme. It cannot contradict other New Testament books. It cannot contradict the doctrine of Christ. So I've seen even brethren get so caught up in explaining the symbolism that they go to logger horns to try to, don't do that. Keep it into the big picture. So that's my answer to you on that one. All right, let's go to the last one. Debbie in the back, Revelation 22:14.
Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city.
All right, so it's an exciting book. It's a book of confidence, but I think, I'm not saying you personally, but I think we as a community of Christians in the body of Christ, we as a whole have tended to avoid this book because there is so much controversy. We have tended to avoid this book. Usually when we study Revelation, here's how it goes. We read Revelations chapter 1 through 3, and then we go 21-22. And we kind of leave the last, that's for that time. And I believe it was for that time, but there's lessons there for you and I. That is my conviction. Now, you might have some differences here, and that's fine. Yes, Daryl.
I think Gary had something in the door.
Okay.
I was going to say that they were more familiar with apocalyptic writings in general than we are.
Yes.
And especially the Christians would have been more familiar with Ezekiel and Daniel and Zechariah than a lot of modern-day Christians.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, Daryl. Okay.
If you have a pretty firm grasp on what the scriptures teach, especially the New Testament, then you may not be able to understand what the detail of what Revelation is saying, but you can easily say what it's not saying.
Good. And I want to go off of his statement, Daryl. I remember your name, Daryl. Go off of Daryl's statement. I am not going to know everything that is said in detail, but I am confident I know the purpose of the message. In fact, it's helped me the last 3 months as I look at what we go through compared to what those Christians went through in the first century. All right, let's go to page number two. Page number two. Okay, I'm not going to bore you by going over all of this section, but this is something I've done. I've kind of, in my mind, have given a survey of all 22 chapters. So when I don't have another writer there, that means I have written those things. When I have another writer and I've highlighted, all the highlighting is mine. So in other words, when you look in the book, it's not highlighted there, but I use that highlight as to why I included that in our study, just for you to understand. Like I said, the first five chapters, I won't say are simple because you have some rough things you have to go through, but are simple in comparison from chapter 6 to 20. So because chapters 1 through 5, why the letter is written, chapter 1, to whom it was written, chapters 2 and 3. And again, remember this, before we even get into the conflict, we've got both the Father and the Son being glorious. That means they're victorious. That's going to help the seven churches of Asia who are going through some very difficult things. You know, we think of difficult things, and I don't want to get into specifics, but remember in 2020 that something strange happened in America. I want to suggest to you that's nothing in comparison to what they went through. And look at the stress level on people and that time. Think of them in the first century. So they needed this letter. Now, we're going to, in just a few moments, go into when's the date of the letter. Good brethren are of two different positions of that. You draw your own position. I'll share with you, as we look at the material, what I come up with. But as you look very quickly, I just want to point out a few things as you look at page number two. A lot of people like chapter 13. Remember 13 because of 666. How many times have you heard people try to identify who the 666 was? It's funny because in different dispensations, different people have been given. I have been given it had been Hitler. And again, I'm not saying these are not the right answers. I have been given it's others. I remember early on, Kissinger was the 666. You know, so they again, I think we overstep our boundaries. I think it's when we look at numbers, and you have the six, which is less than perfection. My understanding, we're going to study it when we get there, 666 is evil personified. It'd be like when my wife and I lived in a house, it was 1313 Gunderson. How's that for fun? 1313. I guess these numbers attract us. We moved to our home now, and it's lot 166. I'm glad it wasn't 666. I would have to try to buy another house just because of that. But you have that. Also, if you look at chapter 16, chapter 16 is another sugar stick for your religious neighbors. The Battle of Armageddon. Everybody's talking, and the blood's going to be up to the bridle of the horse. And again, goes back to what Daryl said. If we have a concept of the whole New Testament, and then go back to what Gary said, if we have some concept of Ezekiel and Daniel and the prophecies used back there, will understand this is figurative speech. And we've got to kind of puzzle it together with the other things. You say, then why study Revelation? Because it's an exciting and comforting book. It's an exciting and comforting book that God's people win. No matter how bleak it might get, God's people win. Let's move to page number 3. Now, what I did, by the way, where the book I got this from is Studies in the Book of Revelation. In our study in the back here, I was told, I believe Farrell Jenkins worked with this congregation for a period of time, did he not? Am I correct? Anyhow, he's got there's a number of his books, little red book. This is where I've got that from. And if you want to look in more detail as to what he said, because as we talk about various ways of interpreting Revelation, I could have used 30 pages for that. I could have gone on and on and on. In fact, when I prepared this, my mind was ready to explode as to how I'm going to. I wasn't going to include it at all, but you have to include it because it's how you interpret it is how you're going to understand the passages. So what I did, I went to Farrell Jenkins' book, and like I said, if you want to look at his book more, there's 4 or 5 copies in the back. I'm not saying you can keep them, but I'm sure you can borrow them and look at them and bring them back, and you can get more detail. If you have Robert Harkrider's book on Revelation, Truth Books, he goes into great detail on that. If you have Homer Haley's book on Revelation, he goes. So if you want to go into much more detail, those are some of the books you can go to. But when you study the book of Revelation, it's from what mindset you're coming from. So let's look at this. Stan, you want to read that first big box, The Futurist.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Oh, no, just above that. Okay, stop for a minute because I'm going to have you continue reading. The futurist view is a view that many take today. It was popularized, in my opinion, by Hal Lindsey. I don't know if you can look years back. The book called Late Great Planet Earth. From that book and other books, another Baptist scholar, Wolveland, he took a futurist. And a lot of people take the futurist. In other words, these signs that we're going to read from 6 and on is talking about what's going to happen. They take that, and then they tie it together with Matthew 24, which is a misnomer, because Matthew 24 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. I'm going to work on a lesson there. So don't be surprised a lot of your neighbors will hold the futurist view. Now, go ahead, Stan, read what Ray Summers, who, by the way, Ray Summers is a Baptist, but he does real good on some of these comments. Go ahead. Okay, and I think he's pretty clear on that, so we'll move on. Let's go on to the continuous historical. The continuous historical. Clay, you want to read that one for me, please?
Sure. This view considers Revelation as a forecast of church history with emphasis on the papacy of the Roman Catholic Church, a prophecy of the Dark Ages. The popes and Martin Luther would have been of little comfort to the persecuted saints of the first 2 centuries.
Okay, now let's just stop here for a moment. This is just called what I call common sense. Here John's on the Isle of Patmos, and he's going to write a letter that doesn't apply to them at all, but to those in the future. What good is that going to do for them? None. But if it's a letter written to them at that time, and the principles carry over to the future, now we see the benefit. Let's go on as we look at the third one. The third one here in his book, let's go to the philosophy of history. Let's go ahead. Paula, do you want to read that for me?
This view
Okay, let's look at D, the preterist. Let's go ahead. Susan, read that one for me, please.
The term preterist indicates that the events described in the book of Revelation have already passed. The book is now history. It was written to the saints of the time in which it was composed and was fulfilled by the 3rd century AD.
All right, let's go to page 4. And page 4, as we look at this one, let's go ahead. Larry, do you want to read that one for me, please?
Historical background. This view combines the features of the preterist method and the philosophy of history approach. Those who hold this view believe that the prophecies of Revelation have already been fulfilled. They also place emphasis on the application of the principles of the book for today. We accept this as the best method of interpretation.
Okay, and of course, the book he's talking about is Studies in Revelation. This is Farrell Jenkins. Now, when I use this material, they're not God. You decide. You decide what you want. So I'm not saying you have to believe this position. I'm just saying, here's the different ones. You have to come to the conclusion which fits you the best. Homer Taylor takes a mixture of a couple of them. So you have that. All right, any comments on that before I move on? Yes.
The continuous historical position was a position taken by most all brethren and most of the denominations until the 1800s. In the Gospel Advocate commentary by Hines takes the continuous historical position. And anyway, 1798, Napoleon dethroned the Pope. And everybody pretty much was thinking Babylon the Great has fallen, the second coming of Christ is imminent. And so religious leaders of all the denominations just about started date setting. Alexander Campbell published a paper called The Millennial Harbinger, and he said that, although he was a post-millennialist, he said he believed that the millennium would begin in 1996. He based that, it appears, that he thought the world began in 4004 BC, and so after 6,000 years, the world would go into the millennium, and Christ would return at the end of that millennium. But anyway, that was the common view. But when the denominations, things didn't work out like they expected in the 1800s, then most of the denominations left the continuous historical position that it was all about the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church and all, and they went to the futurist view.
Yeah.
And what has been the popular view among the denominational churches for a good while.
Right.
I would point out also that you, they're on the preterist view when it says it was fulfilled by the 3rd century A.D., there's a lot of brethren that take that view still today and say that it was fulfilled by A.D. 70. And
we're going to get into that. You're getting ahead of yourself, Gary.
another view that's taken is what they call progressive parallelism. And when I was at Seminole in Tampa during my college days, the preacher there at that time taught that view. And so it's still around.
And Gary, you bring up good points. There's more than these views. All I'm trying to tell you is you have these different views to choose from. You might not take any one view completely. You might take bits of these different views, but it is how you enter the study is how you're going to view some of those things. So yes, you're right, there's others beside that. And you know what? We don't have Church of Christ doctrine. What I mean by that, we have the doctrine of Christ. There's a difference between that. The doctrine of Christ is the New Testament. We would all agree with that, correct? Churches of Christ have done right. Churches of Christ have done wrong. So I don't take a position simply because brethren have grabbed to a position. I take a position as I get my little old noggin to try to figure out how this all ties together. Now, what I've done in this book is just chosen 5 to move forward to the next thing. Now, with those 5, and I appreciate Gary's comments, As you go down, Donnie Rader writes a very little but very productive book on the book of Revelation. You're going to see me quote him quite frequently. I'm kind of bummed because he was to be here for a meeting and he's not coming. I was ready to pick his brain on a lot of things, but he's not going to be here. Now again, he's another human being like you and I. So when we read these comments, these are comments of men as they define this. As we look at Farrell Jenkins, you can see in number E when we finished, he takes the position of the historical background, the combination. That's what, whether you take it or not, that's totally up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to believe. We're going to go over the material. All right, let's look at Revelation by Donnie Rader. Angela, you want to read that for me, please? Okay, and to me, for me, that's the key. When we study Revelation, it's chapter 4 and chapter 17. Chapter 4, God is on his throne. Chapter 17, Christ is victorious. That we must never forget. As we go on and look at the next statement, this is by Robert Harkrider. This is his book of Revelation from Truth Commentaries. Chet, you didn't get a book, did you? Okay, you want to read that for me, please? And that's where we're going to see a lot of the religious air by our denominations. I'll give you one simple, I don't know if they still do it, but studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses years ago, you know, most of the Jehovah's Witnesses, if not all of them today, if you ask them they're going to heaven, they'll tell you no. They'll tell you no because they believe there was a limited number that went to heaven. And they get that limited number. Now, again, they may have changed their view. This is something I studied 10 years ago, so they may have changed. But at that time, their view was only 144,000 could go to heaven. And that number was filled. Well, if they're going to take the, we're going to get in chapter 7, if it is 144,000, and you're going to take that literally, then you got to take the next section literally, that it was 144,000 male Jews. So that would eliminate all of them. But I'm just trying to show you, that's the problem when you incorporate something that would contradict other clear teachings. We all get the opportunity to go to heaven. You know, when I had that Jehovah's Witness years ago knock on my door, and he first said to me, we're in agreement on a lot of things. My first response to him was, no, we're not. I said, I'm going to heaven and you're not. And he had no disregard that he wasn't going to heaven because he thinks he's going to live forever on this earth. But of course, we know the Bible doesn't teach that from Peter and other passages. But they get their view based on, or at least one of their passages based on Revelation on the 144,000. They get the view, the premillennialists, and I have some lessons on premillennialism. The 1,000 years, they take that literally from Revelation chapter 20. Well, if you're going to take that literally, you got Satan, who's a spiritual being. Is he bound by a literal chain? You see, what are you going to take literally and spiritually? You've got to weigh out those things. We're going to get to that. I'm just showing you how we have to be careful as we do the interpretations. Let's go on. Bottom of the page. Okay, page 5. We read the bottom of the page, right? And someone nodded yes or no, okay? Thank you. Chet read it. All right. Now this next section, Preacher's Outline and Sermon Bible. This is written by a denominational person. Okay, I want to say that offset. But I believe he brings up some good ideas here. I'll just ask this. Who wants to do this lengthy reading? Okay, go ahead. Danielle said she would. She's very quiet, but she'll speak up when she reads that lengthy section. All right. Hope that helped a little bit. Go home and digest some of this. Now we come on to the dates. There are good brethren who hold the 60 AD date before that. It happened by 60 AD before the destruction of Jerusalem. There are others, such as myself. Now that doesn't make it right because I hold it, but there's like myself, who hold the latter date, that it was during the time of Domitian. And since I do hold the latter position, I give a slanted view. I give authors as to why they hold the latter date. If you hold the 60 or earlier date, if you want to say something, please raise your hand. I'll let you speak. We are not going to have a conflicting of horns on those two dates, but I do like these authors who try to emphasize why the latter date seems to be more plausible. The latter date meaning in the 90s. That it's a book that was written in the 90s with the severe persecution under Domitian. So let's go on and read that. As we go on, can we go back to Donnie Rader a couple of times and then some other authors? Let's go. Gary, you want to read the first one there on page number 5, bottom of the page.
Domitian, who ruled AD 81 to 96. Foy E. Wallace and Art Ogden argue for the early date in their commentaries. Homer Haley, Ray Summers, Robert Harkrider, and Wayne Jackson argue for the latter date in their works.
Okay, now, we're familiar with some of these. Foy Wallace, to me, has one of the best writings on premillennialism. But I don't agree with him on the book of Revelation where he holds the date, although you're going to see me quote him sometimes in some sections. Here you got the 60 or the 90. Let's go to page number 5. Page 6. Let's see. Daryl, do you want to read that for me? The first one. Where it says the circumstances?
Circumstances not the
Rome and that it issued no formal edict against the Christians. Haley further argues that while Nero accepted worship, he was restrained with reference to being deified until after he was dead. However, Domitian avidly courted worship of himself by the people and wanted them to look upon him as a god. Ray Summers makes the same point. Revelation clearly indicates that the Christians were being persecuted because they refused to worship the emperor. There is no such demand during the time of Nero. The Neronian persecution was confined to Rome. It never reached other parts of the world.
So, yes, was there persecution under Nero? Absolutely. Remember, he accused the Christians of the fire. But I'm not at that time. Various historians will say it was more limited than under the time of Domitian when he demanded worldwide the submitting to him. Take it for what it's worth. Let's read the next one. All right. Date of Revelation, truth for today. Linda, did you want to read that? Okay. Okay, what's the overall message? We win. God won, so we win. That's the overall message. So whether you take the 60s or the 90s, that doesn't change. Okay, as we look at we're not going to look at page 7. We're going to look at David going to ring the bell. So we'll get into the questions next week on this first one. I know there's a lot of material that we're reading, and I will appreciate your comments, but I want to get through this introduction to show, and again, it's an exciting book. Most of us has tended to shy away from it, but really, it gives me a lot of confidence that no matter how bleak, because it couldn't get much bleaker than it did in the first century, no matter how bleak it gets, we win. So we'll start with page number 7 next week.